So Friday night at the Marquee Theater, a great double bill. One of those things that on paper you would think, well, this is kind of weird, but they did it 25 years ago as part of the Gathering of the Tribes, talking about the return of the Valley of the Cult and special guest Public Enemy, joined on the phones right now by Cult guitar player. His hands are a registered weapon with a Gretsch White Falcon in them. It's Billy Duffy. How are you, Billy?
I'm all right, mate. I'm good. Yeah, that was a great setup, man. That's a fantastic. Yeah, it's an interesting bill. I thought the same when I first saw it. I was like, whoa, really? And then, you know, I thought about it, and the connections between the Cult and Public Enemy go back to, like, 86 with the whole Def Jam, Rick Rubin. You know, there was, like, a little fraternity of the kind of New York Rick Rubin crowd, Anthrax. There was Slayer, Public Enemy. There was even the Beastie Boys running around. You know, there was, like, a little scene, so they were very much part of that, you know, and in a lot of ways it makes sense. I now it makes sense, but initially I was like, whoa, you know.
Well, it's not a band that you would think that you would see you and Ian hanging out with Chuck D and Flav.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah, exactly. But you never know. You know, the one thing about them is they're heavy, and I like that. You know, heavy is heavy, you know. I mean, I like any kind of heavy music, you know, metal. I like heavy dance music, you know, things that are committed and forceful, you know. I happen to like a bit of melody as well, but, you know, it's admirable, you know. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, hopefully it'll be a great night. And more importantly, good for the audience, you know what I'm saying? Two great bands on one bill, you know.
Nothing wrong with that. Now, it's been a couple of years since Choice of Weapon was released, and you're on record as saying, hey, new Cult album sometime in 2015. Is that what you're doing right now in the off time?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean, literally into it. We're a bit slammed. We're always late making records, man. I don't, you know, how you're supposed to do everything in the modern era where everything is very cost conscious. And all that, it just takes time for me and Ian to get the songs how we want them to be, you know, as best we can. So, you know, there'll be new music in 2015. You can quote me on that, and we'll definitely be out playing some more, but I'm not sure if you could quote me on saying there'll be a new album released in 2015. It might technically be. Well, it might be 2015 in China, put it that way.
Billy, let's go back, you know, before you started making money as a professional musician, what was your last regular job?
Last regular job was selling clothes. I figured it was a pretty easy way. Retail, I used my Northern English wit and charm, such as I could muster, to sell clothes in London, in like trendy areas, because it kind of kept you connected with the sort of music scene socially, and it was all, you know, cash money in hand. And that was the last real job I had. I was working kind of like they called it like a market, but in fact it was just a place where like lots of small retailers sold their clothes, but they were new, you know. It wasn't like a flea market as such, but you know, I worked like doing that.
Okay, so
I didn't work for like a regular store. I also did construction, because a lot of my family used to be in construction. That was a tough job. I used to have to eat four meals a day. And, you know, imagine in England in the weather there. Oh, that was rough.
Construction is great for a guitar player's hands, right?
Oh, fantastic. And for the fact if you want to put on about 20 pounds, it's just because you constantly needing calories, you know. I used to have two breakfasts. It was like something out of the Lord of the Rings, and a hobbit having second breakfast. It's unbelievable. That was when I was a kid, but geez, yeah, I remember. Well, that was it though, man. Ever since then, I've been fortunate enough to make a living being a troubadour.
Let me ask you this question, Billy. You know, the tide has ebbed and flowed with you and the band. What's the legacy of the Cult when it's all said and done?
Here lies the Cult, and why not?
And why not? Have a good time all the time.
I think our legacy, all I would say, and, you know, I kind of take things seriously in a lighthearted way. I think what we did was to bridge kind of indie, rock and roll end of indie music, make that bridge to kind of organic rock and roll music. We kind of, which was a little bit of a difficult place to be, you know, like, yeah, everybody in the 80s, everybody was like an indie band from England with a weird haircut, but we were an indie band from England with various weird haircuts who kind of was aspiring to play more rock and roll, which ultimately, but in our own way, you know, a darker kind of rock and roll. And, you know, I guess that's what, where we ended up, you know what I mean? And touring with Guns N' Roses and that stuff we did in the 80s was part of that journey. And you kind of had the freedom to do that in the United States, which is why we came here very early on in our career rather than staying in Europe, like a lot of our contemporaries who focused on Europe and were like, oh, America is too big, you got to be there for too long, the Midwest horrible, you can't get a good cup of tea, you know, the usual. So we thought, you know, people musically were a bit more open-minded here. You know, you've got your really cool kind of subculture in all the major cities, basically the donut, and then in the middle people just want to rock, you know. So it was an opportunity for us anyway, from what I can remember, you know, that we made a conscious decision. We went, well, the Who did it, and the Stones and all the classic great bands, they all toured America a lot, and kind of because it gave you the room to grow, which is, you know, kind of, I guess, the American kind of story.
There's an argument to be made that the Cult did in 1984 what Nirvana did in 1991, which was bring that sort of indie alternative rock to the mainstream and cross over. Do you feel like that the band hasn't been recognized for as important as it's been?
Probably. I don't think we're ever destined to get many pats on the back and awards. You know, you'll never find us, you know, like anybody, you know, the guy that made the tea on some mediocre record gets some award, because we've always been a bit of an outsider band. And I think if you just look at the name itself, The Cult, which even was kind of somewhat inherited from Ian's previous band. But nevertheless, I think we're a bit of an outsider band. I'm certainly not bitter about it, but it's given us longevity. And I think that people know music. You know, I didn't ever join a band to get awards and award shows with, you know, fatties sitting around a table in suits, patting each other on the back. That's not why I got in music. But I would think that we've probably, you know, to honestly answer your question, yes, I think The Cult has been a bit under-recognized on an official level. But I think if you were to look at, you know, particularly, say, the grunge movement, it's funny you mentioned Nirvana, but, you know, that is the opening track on the Love album, which was our breakthrough album, was called Nirvana. And, you know, I mean, I know, because they're personal friends of mine. I mean, you know, you see the Pearl Jam, you know, the movie Pearl Jam made. I mean, there's videos of them trying to get in backstage at a Cult gig in Seattle. You know, everybody who was anybody in the grunge scene was there to see the Cult play with the Divinyls at the Paramount Theatre. I like to say early, very early 1986. It might have been late 1985, I can't really remember. I think it was 1986, and that was a very, you know, pivotal gig in Seattle, because up until then it was like, yeah, of course, you got your indie bands like The Cure and Depeche Mode and New Order and The Smiths and. None of them rocked, really. I mean, you had Killing Joke, obviously, and Bauhaus. You had gothic bands, and Bauhaus and Killing Joke were real heavy. But we kind of were more rock and roll. That was just the way Ian sang. He had a bluesy voice. I was kind of a 70s-inspired guitar player, really, even though I had a Gretsch. And that's what I was trying to do, was play 70s rock on a Gretsch, and it ended up with that weird sound.
And lo and behold, 30-plus years later, you stand at the Marquee Theater Friday night with Public Enemy. Now, is this ultimately sort of like a greatest hits tour, or will you do some of the stuff you're working on right now for the follow-up to Choice of Weapon?
I don't think we... It's not... We were planning on playing a new song, but to be totally honest, we're running so behind schedule on the album that nothing's really we feel comfortable about doing. Plus, we've made a bit of a shift in terms of the instrumentation, where, you know, I've been wanting to use more of a keyboard utility guy for the sound and not have two guitars, because the Cult never really was intentionally a kind of a two-guitar Aerosmith Stones band.
Right.
When we started, we only did it on electric because we had to, and it was that our bass player picked up the guitar and started playing. The bass player we hired never left more than 6 inches from the drum kit, so it didn't look, it was just different. And over the years, we've kind of become this a bit lazy. And I wanted to get back to two of our biggest ever tours, which was Sonic Temple and Ceremony, where it was we used the keyboard utility guy, and it just gives us a bit more of abilities, I think, to represent kind of where we're at musically now, as well, you know. So there's a few things going on. So I'd love to play some new stuff. I don't think it's going to happen. He's not going to be old, just greatest hits. There's always going to be a couple of obscure ones in there. You know, we don't always play all the hits. So, you know, it's kind of fluid right now.
All right, Billy. Well, hey, we want to thank you for checking in this morning and joining us. And we'll again mention Friday night, The Cult with Public Enemy at the Marquee Theater. Thanks for checking in. Have a great day.
Yeah, and you, man. It was a pleasure talking to you. See you guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Billy.
Thank you, Billy.